We're here on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, and we're going to start with the last two lines on Tes Amud Aleph. Let me just explain what's going on here. The Gemara wants to know, in the case of David and Bathsheba, since David had a relationship with Bathsheba, and she was married to Uriah Chiti, then she was an Eishes Ish. And a person who has a relationship with an Eishes Ish is never allowed to be married to her. And yet, everybody knew that she was an Eishes Ish, and yet they didn't say to David, you know, you can't have a relationship with her. On the contrary, David married Bathsheba. So the Gemara asks, Mipnei ma lo asruha, why didn't they establish in the Beis Din, we can't tolerate this relationship between David and Bathsheba? So the Gemara gives an answer, which we studied last week. We're not going to go over it again. That the case of Bathsheba was ones, that she didn't agree to have this relationship. But now we're up to the second answer.
So ones by David HaMelech?
By David HaMelech, that's the first answer. And the second answer is Rabbi Yonason. So to understand Rabbi Yonason, we have to turn to Daf Tes Amud Beis. Okay? Now, Rabbi Yonason, and just by way of introduction, I'm hoping that today's shiur we're going to focus on this tosus. That's why I want to dedicate this call on the top of Daf Tes Amud Beis. So let's see if that works out for us. David HaMelech enacted something during his period of as king, because you know that David HaMelech was involved in many different battles, military campaigns against the enemies. The Plishtim, and against Aram, the Assyrians, and many different enemies. Now, in truth, even Goliath was part of this whole thing, but that was when Shaul was king. So you may remember that at the time of Shaul HaMelech, before David, Shaul was looking for someone who would volunteer to fight Goliath, and it was David who did it. Now, David was sent by his father Yishai. David had three older brothers who already were out in the battlefield. Yishai sent David on a twofold mission. David was the baby in the family, he was the youngest. And he was sent, first of all, similar to what happened at the time when Yosef was sent by Yaakov Avinu to check out on his brothers. He was sent to check on his brothers to make sure that everything is going well with them, because they were fighting in the battles. But he had a second shlichut that he was sent by Yishai, and this is going to have a tremendous impact on David HaMelech. And Yishai sends David to retrieve from each one of David's three older brothers who are on the battlefield a get krisus. Right? We know about a get. The official word, the official title is a get krisus. Krisus means to divide or separate. And why was Yishai so interested in receiving a get krisus from each one of David's brothers, his oldest sons?
They were all married.
They were all married. Is because Yishai wanted a guarantee that his daughters-in-law would not become what we call an aguna. And if Chas V'Shalom, tragically, any of his sons would not return from battle, they would be able to get remarried based on the get. And we'll soon see that this is called a get al tnai, a conditional get. So let's just say a few words about a condition in general in halacha, all conditions in any transaction, and specifically in gerushin, in get. There are two basic categories of conditions of tnai. One is called the Tanai of Im, Aleph Mem, and the other is called the Tanai of Almanas. Both Im and Almanas means on condition, but there's a fundamental difference between the two. In the case of a Tanai of Im, the transaction becomes valid only from the moment of the Kiyum, the fulfillment of the Tanai. So for example, the transaction may have taken place, let's say, on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, and the Tanai was fulfilled on Tisha B'Av, 3 weeks later. If it's a Tanai of Im, then the transaction, the Chalos, what we call, is only valid from Tisha B'Av. Then it's something called the Tnai of Almanas. In a case of a Tnai of Almanas, the Chalos is Lemafreya, is retroactive from Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. Now, given the fact that David, as a shliach of his father Yishai, retrieved three gittin from, respectively, from each of his three brothers for their wives, respectively, those gittin were a get al tanai, meaning these men had no intention of divorcing their wife, but they gave a conditional get that if I, right, any one of the three, do not return from battle, the get should be valid. Oh. Now the question is, would it be valid l'mafreya retroactively, or would it only be valid like a tanai of im from the moment of the kiyuma tanai? Okay, that's going to be one of the issues. But be that as it may, just to give you an introduction, David was very impacted by Yishai, by his father, and he decided to enact a general requirement that any soldier, any Jewish soldier going out to battle who's married, should deliver a get to his wife, a get al tanai, and that get will be delivered to the soldier's wife right before the soldier goes out to battle. And basically the get said as follows: if I don't come back from battle, this is your get. If I come back from battle, the get is completely null and void. We resume our relationship. There's no need to be Makadish her again. And this is what Rav Yonason says here, that David enacted Kol Hayotze L'Milchemes Beis David. Any soldier, Jewish soldier, goes out to battle, get krisus kosev l'ishto. He should write a get to his wife.
Is that the modern practice also?
No. I don't know why, you know, that's a Torah Iyun Gadol, why it went into oblivion. It might not be a bad idea. The problem probably is Kohanim, because in the case of a Kohen, even if he gives a get al tanai, it's very complicated to resume that marriage relationship. Now the Gemara asked, what pasuk? How did Rav Yonason know that David HaMelech made this enactment? And the Gemara quotes a pasuk that reflects on Yishai sending David on shlichus. And the pasuk says, Vesachecha tifkod l'shalom, which means, make sure that everything is well with your brothers, and that you'll come back to me and report. But more than that, Ves arubasam tikach. Very vague, very kind of ambiguous phrase that's used by the Tanakh, and I don't know, you know, what the scholars, you know, translated, because it's really arubasam is some sort of a guarantee of some sort, but Chazal al pitor shebal peh are going to reinterpret the word arubasam. Okay, Tani Rav Yosef, my v'es arubasam tikach. Tani Rav Yosef. Dvarim hama'oravim beino leveino. Now, I see that, Brian, you have an art scroll.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to know how they translate this whole phrase here. Yeah.
It says, you know, what is made by, and take the aruba.
Ah, he doesn't even translate the word aruba. Very smart, very diplomatic move.
Right.
See, because Artskol realizes that whatever translation you'll come to, it's not going to work out with Torah Sheval Peh, so let's just call it Aruba. Yeah, go ahead. Tony Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef taught, yeah.
Taught the following barasa, Devarim Amuravim Beino Levena. It refers to matters that are commingled between him and her.
Oh, okay, so stop there. So the Artskol translation of the word Devarim Amuravim Beino Levena is commingled. Which is interesting, because classically a tarobes is really a mixture. But he doesn't want to use the word mixture here, because he wants to show that this word arubasam is referring to marriage. The marriage relationship is a commingling of the husband and the wife. It's sort of like they're interdependent. You know, they get together as a unit. Tikach means to undermine that marriage relationship. So this is all a code phrase for get. Tikach here means take something that will allow for this arubasam, this co-mingling marriage relationship, to terminate. And why did Yishai do this? He was afraid that if Chas V'Shalom, tragically, one of his sons or any of his sons would not come back from battle, their wives would be stuck. Because unless there are two witnesses testifying that we saw the corpse, the dead body, they're aguna, they can't get remarried. And David, based on this behavior, paradigm of Yishai, David instituted as a universal rule that every Jewish soldier going out to battle should write this get. Now Rashi has something to say about this get. So this is the top Rashi on Daf Tes Amid Beis. She'im yamus b'mulchama. By the way, notice the Rashi uses the word im. Right? He doesn't say almanas she'yamus b'mulchama. Right? Yehei get. Right? If he dies in battle, the get will be valid. But from when?
From the time of death.
I would have said it should be from the time of death because Rashi used the word im. But Rashi goes ahead and says, Miyom ksivasa, from the date written in the get, right? When the Bezdin oversees the writing of a get, they are very careful that the date written in the get is the day that the get is written. You follow what I'm saying? As you could write the get on a Sunday and deliver the get on Monday, that's not good. That's called a mukta. We won't go into the details. But basically, the date in which the get is delivered, that's called the Nesina Saget or the Mesira Saget, is the date of the Ksiva Saget. So in my paradigm that I gave you before, that's going to be Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. Says Rashi, Yehei get, what does Yehei mean? What does the word Yehei mean in this context? It will be valid. Chalos, Yehei means it's Chal. Miyom Ksivasa. So I ask you the following question: is Rashi applying the standards of Im or of Almanas, meaning Lamafreya? Rashi is applying the standards of Almanas. Vahare Meis Uria Bimulchama. Uria never survived the battle. Is Memela the get that he gave to Bathsheba before he went out to battle? Now watch this: the relationship between David and Bathsheba, right, that escapade, took place between two dates, between the date in which Uriah went out to battle and the date of Uriah's death. So you and I would have said, well, at the time of this relationship between David and Bathsheba, she was still married to Uriah. He's alive and well. But the answer is no, says Rashi. Already from the moment that Uriah went out to battle, the get was valid because this Tanai works l'mafreya retroactively. From what date? The date that's written in the get. So let's assume three time periods. There's Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, right? That's when the get was written, and that's the date on the get. Then we'll call it, let's say, Rosh Chodesh Av. That was the date in which David had this rendezvous with Bathsheba. And then on Tisha B'Av, Nebuch Uriah was killed in battle. Says Rashi, already on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, Bathsheba was a grusha. She can't marry a Kohen, but David is not a Kohen. He came from Sheva Yehuda, so he's okay with marrying a grusha. But she's no longer an Eishes Ish. Why? Because the get is valid l'mafreya retroactively.
Doesn't it leave a window where he would have liability for...
Liability if what?
Even assuming Uriah dies, there's still a window between the death and...
See, I thought you could ask me, what if Uriah lived? Yeah, but great. Let me hear your question.
Between the death and the relations and the death, the get is not chal because Uriah hasn't died yet?
No, but we're applying the rule of the Mafreya, says Rashi, that the get is chal from Yom Ksivasa. Again, the get was written on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. The relationship between David and Bathsheba took place...
On the first of Av.
On the first of Av, let's say. Correct? Which is, let's say Shavasa B'Tammuz. Okay, well, just make it a 3-week period, okay? So the get was delivered on Shavasa B'Tammuz. The relationship was on Rosh Chodesh Av, about 2 weeks later, a little less than 2 weeks. And Uriah died on Tisha B'Av. At what moment was the get that Uriah delivered chal?
On the day of writing.
Which was what?
The first
Shavasa B'Tammuz, right? In that new paradigm. David didn't have a relationship with Bathsheba until Rosh Chodesh. Ah, so she was already a grusha.
But until he's nifter, it doesn't become an afreya. No, it only becomes an afreya when the Orion dies. There's a window.
So I don't know if you're talking, you may be talking about Reb Shimon Shkop now, but leaving out Reb Shimon Shkop's chiddush, l'mafreya means that it's chal l'mafreya. She was a grusha from the first, the new case from Shivas
B'Tamos. What in a different case where it's not the case with Tanakh, but let's say a Bezdin proceeds to prosecute the Baal for his relations. Now the husband's still at war, and in the meantime he dies at war. So now the get is mafreya, but there is a portion where he could.
So we can't prosecute because she was already grusha at the time of this relationship.
Okay, there's no nafkamin as far as that window where.
Right, because that's what l'mafreya means. Okay. L'mafreya means that the get is chal b'yom k'sivos. So take a look at the last five or six words in Tosfos. We'll go through the whole Tosfos. I just want to jump ahead for a minute. Tosfos writes at the end of this long Tosfos, Eich ba'aleha. This was, I thought, Evan was going to be your question. Meaning, if David Amel could look into a crystal ball and he could know for sure that Uriah is going to die in battle, then fine. Once Uriah dies in battle, the get is chal mafreya. But shouldn't David HaMelech, in the absence of a crystal ball, be at least worried about the possibility that Uriah might survive? You know, imagine Uriah comes back to his wife at the end of the battle, you know, we won the battle. You know, he's got he's got all his paraphernalia there, you know? So David HaMelech was taking a great chance. This is called, in the language of the Rishonim, Safek Eishes Ish. It's possible that she's a grusha if Uri at the end of the day dies, but you can't know that. Nobody can guarantee you. I mean, David HaMelech didn't take a gun and kill Uriah. How could David HaMelech therefore enter into a situation where the possibility exists that Uriah would survive the battle, which means that the get is completely invalid and she's an Ashishish? That's what I thought you were going to ask. So I don't know if you ever heard of the Nesivus. He was the Rav in a place called Lisa about like 200 years ago. And he wrote a super commentary on Choshe Mishpat, which is called the Nesivus on Mishpat. It's absolutely classical. I mean, you can't learn Choshe Mishpat without learning and studying every Nesivus. But he wrote many, many other Sfarim. And one Sefer he wrote on Masechta Ksuvos, and it's called the Beis Yaakov, because his name was Yav Yaakov Milisa. His last name, I think, was Levenbaum. Tremendous mind. I mean, you could have made a couple of Einsteins out of his mind. So he writes the following. He says that since David HaMelech was the commander-in-chief, he had biyado means he had the potential of guaranteeing that Uriah would not come back before a certain date. In other words, he would get on the walkie-talkie and tell the commander on, Bashetach, that don't let him on leave. You know, there's no leave here until a certain date. The get was written, says the Beis Yaakov, within a certain time period. It wasn't just open-ended. You know, if I don't come back for the rest of, till eternity. No, it was written within a certain period of time. And that period of time, let's call it 6 months, I don't know, I'm just making that up, would be such that if David had biyado, because of his authority, to guarantee that Uriah would not come back within the 6 months, it would mean that the get would definitely be chal l'mafreya, and even if Uriah would survive the battle, since he would only return home after the 6 months, he would have to remarry his wife, because the get was valid. Says the Beis Yaakov, therefore, I have an answer to Tosfos Kasha. Of course you're not allowed to have a relationship with a Safek Eishesish. How could David know for sure that Uriah would not return from battle? But what he could guarantee is that within a certain period of time that was stipulated in the get, you know, if I don't return within the next 6 months, the get is valid, that he, Uriah, would not come back to visit his wife. The other soldiers may be on leave, you know, you see the old time war movies, you know, the soldiers show up and they see their wives and they have a ball, you know, this and that, the other thing. But this particular soldier would not get leave. You know, the commander in chief would give every excuse. I'm just inventing this. Boy, Uriel, we need you to clean the latrines. You know, there's no way that we can let you out. And David HaMelech therefore had the power as commander in chief to guarantee the Kiyuma Tanai, which means the get would be Chalom Afreya. That's the Beis Yaakov. But what I'd like to do with you now is go back to the beginning of Tosfos. And we're going to study Rabbeinu Tam's objection to Rashi's pshat, that this whole get is chalom afreya. Because everything that we said until now is predicated on the premise of Rashi that this get is chalom afreya. Rabbeinu Tam is not convinced. He's going to quote Gemaras and Tosefta's, you know, all over the place to try to show that maybe this get is not at all chalom afreya. Okay. So let's see the beginning of Tosfos. And in Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll try and see how we can do. Pirush B'Kudrus, according to Rashi, the Tanai that was written in the Get is She'im Yomus B'Melchama Yehei Get Mishas K'sivoso, that the Get will be Chal not before his death, but will be chal from the time written in the get. Now, let me give you a little bit of background here again. And again, if what I say is superfluous, then you'll be meichel me. But, you know, I always like to go l'chumra and assume that you and I know nothing. Imagine the following scenario. A man goes out to battle, and he leaves his wife, who he just married, let's say a year ago, they have no children, and he leaves behind him a young brother. I can even dramatize it further. His mother is pregnant. And if we took an ultrasound, we would determine that she has a male child in her womb. And imagine he goes out to battle, and lo and behold, his mother gives birth to a boy. If he has no children, then his wife, if he doesn't return, now virtually becomes an aguna. Why? Because if in fact he died, she falls for yibum to his brother who's 0 years old. I mean, he's 1 day old, okay? Today was his birthday, mazel tov. Now, the earliest time this boy could give chalitza is at the age of what?
13.
I'll give you a different scenario. Let's say this soldier, this Jewish soldier, who is the Yarmulke, he has a brother who's out in India, and he sits on pins at the guru in India, smoking pot. I don't know what he does there. You know, I'm dating myself here because that was when I was a kid. Today I'm sure they do more sophisticated things. I don't know. What do they take those pills? What do they call those? What's the word for that pill? Ecstasy. You know, taking those ecstasy pills. You know what I'm saying? What I mean to say is there's no way under the sun that we can get a hold of this guy, track him down. And even if we could, who says he's going to be willing to give chalitza? So how do you circumvent this problem? The Gemara assumes, as Rabbeinu Tam is going to try to prove, that the solution to this problem is a get krisus, which was given, delivered by the soldier, the Jewish soldier, in a situation where he has a younger brother, and he's worried about her falling for Yibu, which means that two witnesses will come and testify that they saw his body, but she can't marry anyone until she gets chalitza from his brother. So there are two premises here. Number one, this soldier has a brother. Number two, he has no children. When those two conditions are met, then he gives her a get krisus. That's going to resolve the problem of yibum, because if the get is chalom afreya, then she's a grusha and she doesn't fall for Yiv. However, I added one word that's absolutely inappropriate, Lomafreya. The whole concept of Lomafreya now, says Rabbi Tam, is completely out of whack. As long as the get is chal, 1 minute before he dies, the soldier never, you've solved the problem of Yiv. There's no need to introduce Lomafreya. And Rabbi Tam is going to compare this to the paradigm case of a man who gives a get to his wife, and he says the following, Hare ze gitech im mati, if I die. Meaning, a man says to his wife, who has a younger brother and no children, here's your get, and if I die, this get should be valid. And the Gemara establishes that in such a case, what his intention was, that the get should be valid 1 minute before he dies. And that solves the problem of chalitza and yibum. You know, back in the day, they fulfilled the mitzvah of yibum. Today, you know, we don't advocate yibum, we advocate chalitza, for whatever reason. Have you gentlemen ever seen, have you ever seen a chalitza?
Yeah.
Oh. What?
Yeah.
3 times I saw chalitza. Chalitza, you should know, it's so different than a get. I saw many gittin. And in all cases, they took out a bottle and they said, Mazel Tov. Because the get is the final clincher in a long process. And there's a backlog. I mean, everybody is so happy when the get is finally delivered. It's like, mamish, everyone's jumping for joy. In fact, sometimes the Masada get will say, Mazel Tov. You know, it's like really strange. Chalitz is just the opposite. It's a tearjerker. It's really, everyone's crying. Because basically in Chalitza, the Cholit says to his wife, his whole parasha in the Torah and Kitetze, he declares that, I'm not interested in being make him shame, lo'achiv, lo'achi ames. And the whole Chalitza is really built around the dead brother who died never without children. The Torah offered an opportunity for his so to speak, for his Zerah to continue. And this Cholit, he decides, I'm more selfish, I'm not interested in my brother, I'm more interested in myself. I don't want to marry this woman. Again, today, I wouldn't beat him up for that, because we don't advocate Yibum. But nevertheless, that emotional element, when he declares that I'm not here to be Mekayim Al Shem Ames, that still exists. Chalitz is fascinating for another reason, because the Cholitz has to take off a sandal. Now the sandal has to fit the foot, and has to be made of leather. And there are many dinim in the sandal chalitza. So basically, every bezdin has 3 sizes. You know, and the assumption is that everyone fits into one of these 3 sizes. It's really cool. If you ever get a chance, if somebody invites you to see a chalitza, if you have the time, it's worth seeing it. It's an experience. Anyway, so let's look at this Tosus. The Tosus says, Pirush bekuntris, shim yomus b'molchama yehei get mishas ksivasa. Now again, the assumption is that the purpose of this get is to patter her up from yibum. And why does this get patter up from yibum? Because if the get is chal before his death, then she's not a yavama. There's no zikas yibum. She's a grusha. V'kosher b'nuktam dim kain my kol hayotze. Right, Rabbi Yonason says any Jewish soldier, kol hayotze, every single Jewish soldier, writes a get. Im lo ma'ani el lemisha ein lo bonim v'yesh lo yova. Rashi's assuming, that's how Tosus learned, that the get should be chal before his death. If the get is chal before his death, that's only meaningful in the case of a soldier who has no children. He has a younger brother who's called a yova. But that's a rare kind of case. How many, if you took a census amongst Jewish soldiers going out to battle, and you asked them, well, by show of hands, how many of you are married, without children, and have a younger brother? You know, maybe 3 hands will go up out of 1,000 soldiers. So why call a Yotzei Melchemes based on it? But that's not the worst, Kasha. Okay. Furthermore, Rabbeinu Tam says the following. He says, if you want to tell me that this get is going to help David HaMelech get out of his problem, because that's the whole reason now is Sugya quoted this Gemara. Now, why is Rabbi Yonason's statement being quoted here in Masechta Ksuvis? It really belongs to the Masechta Gittin. The answer is because we're trying to answer the question how David was allowed to have this relationship with Bathsheba. The Mishnah says in Perek Misha Achzu, Vatnan v'Misha Achzu, Mahi v'Osan Hayomim, what's the status of this woman whose husband gave her a get al tnai? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Harei hi ke'eshes ish l'chol dvarea. Her status is that of an eshes ish. So this get that Uriah supposedly gave to Bathsheba before he went out to battle is not going to help David HaMelech, because Rabbi Yehuda says that during this period of time she's an eshes ish. Now Tosfos explains what that means. V'kai, and this question of Mahi v'osan ayamim is referring to Amai Diktani, what it says in the Mishnah there, a little bit earlier in that sugya. It says, and I'll read to you the whole Mishnah. It says, "Hanosen get li ishto v'amrla harei zegitech mehayom imati." I'm giving you this get from today if I die. And on that, the Gemara says that what is she during this period of time until he dies, between the giving of the get and his death? Her status is that of an Ashes Ish. So again, here's a person who's giving a get because of the possibility that he will die and she will fall for Yibum. And the Gemara interprets the Mishnah as saying that in this case, me'ayom imati means that I'm giving you the get today, but the get will only be chal right before I die. So in the interim period between the giving of the get and his death, she is, says Rabbi Yehuda, Nashis Ish, which means that David HaMelech and this whole sugya sort of is a big problem. Why? V'chein mashma b'tosefta. Okay, there's a Tosefta apparently also in Gittin, a price in Gittin. If a person says, Hareze Gitech Me Hayom, and it says over there, Alma Afal Gav Di Omer Me Hayom, the Tosefta establishes that even though he said the word Me Hayom, Havya Eshes Ish Gemura, until the day of his death, she's a full fledged Eshes Ish. Udemafarish b'gemara, the Gemara explains, b'omer me'es sha'ani ba'olam, meaning from the time, up until the time that I die, as long as I'm alive, pirusha, which means, da'hai di'omer me'ayom, lo she'yachul miyad, not that the get should be chal from the time of the nesina, eladaito she'yachul sha'achas kodem misaso, up until the end of the period that I'm alive, meaning up until a moment before I die. So why did he say me'ayom v'lo omer me'ayom elim ute li'achar misa? So that you understand that the get, he didn't mean that the get should be chal after he dies. Chlomer me'oso yom shani ba'olam, from the last day of my life yehei get. So it means that when a person says that this get is being given because I'm afraid that I'm going to die, he means that the get should be chal one moment before I die. So that means that a person who gives a get al tnai, that if he dies it should be a get, the get is chal not from the moment that he writes the get and delivers the get, but rather from the moment before he dies. And if that be the case, we come back to our original question, how could David HaMelech be mutter b'frat sheva? He had this relationship when Uriah was still alive, and we no longer have a right to say l'mafreya, because me'ayom means from a moment before I die. So Tosfos says, umiyu yesh l'chalek, maybe we could make the following distinction, bein me'ayom lepiresh behedja sheyachol mishas ksiva. If a person says me'ayom, it means 1 minute before I die. But if he says Mishas Ksiva, and he explicitly mentions those words, then Al Karchach, what he really means, we have to assume, is Mishas Ksiva Ka'omer Shiyeh Get. So again, if a person says Mea Yom, that means from the time that I die, meaning a minute before I die. If he says Mishas Ksiva, then he means that the get should be Chal Lemafreya. So now we have to go back to our sugya on Daf Tes Amud Beis, and we have to assume that when it says Kol Hayotze Lemelchemes Beis David Get Krisis Kosev Liishto, that the get has to be written explicitly with the words, with the words may, what were the words again? Mishas Ksiva. Those are the two key words. Hare get ze Mishas Ksiva. The Odnir, and furthermore, Dafilu Omar, even if he says at the time that he gives him the Sina Me'ayom, and he doesn't say Mishas Ksiva, Yeshli Yashiv Pirusha Kunchis, we can still defend Rashi. Delav Dafka Piresh Im Yomus Bimelchama. Rashi seems to say Im Yomus Bimelchama, which means that he's worried about the fact that he'll die. If he's worried about the fact that he'll die, not that he won't show up, but that he'll be alive and he won't show up, he's worried about that he'll die, then obviously he's trying to resolve and circumvent the problem of Yibum. But what Rashi means is Lav Dafka. Rashi shouldn't be taken literally. Pirush, what Rashi means is She'im Yomus B'Melchama, that he will die in the battle, Ela Hayumasnim Im Lo Yachzar Min HaMelchama. As we thought that when Rashi said Im Yomus B'Melchama, that's what he wrote in the Tanai, which indicates that he wants to get to Bichal a minute before he dies to avoid the problem of Yibum. But no, we have to change Rashi, and instead of Im Yomus B'Melchama, we should read it Im Lo Yachzar Min HaMelchama, which means that if I won't come back, let's say I'll fall into captivity or so, and I can't come back, the get should be Chal Me'ayom L'Mafreya. So again, Tosfos basically defends Rashi against the onslaught of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam took Rashi to mean Shim Yomus B'Melchama, that the problem here that the soldier is trying to circumvent and solve is the problem of Yibu. So therefore Rabbeinu Tam says, if that be the case, the get is not Chal L'Mafreya, but it's Chal 1 minute before he dies. And Rabbeinu Tam has all sorts of sources to prove that when a person says Me'ayom Imati, from today when I die, it means a minute before he dies. And now we're reinterpreting Rashi in one of two ways. Either Rashi's talking about a Tanai where he said Mishas Ksiva, or Rashi's talking about a case where he said Im Lo Bati, if I don't return from battle. Or the language of Tosfos is Im Lo Yachzar Min HaMelchama. I'm just going to fast forward a few lines. V'im Tomar, Hare Uria, Hare Chazar Uria. Uria at some point did come back from battle. V'nis Batel HaGet. So how could David rely on this get? The get was Batel, meaning any soldier who shows up during battle completely undermines this get and invalidates it. V'yesh Lomar, Shehoya Masne, that the tnai of a person, a soldier went out to battle was Im Lo Yachzer B'Sof HaMelchama. If I don't return at the end of the battle, and in the case of Uri, at the end of the battle, Lo Chazai L'Basof, he never came back from battle. Is Nichol Pirush Zeh? Now we can answer a question. In other words, David said, just 1 second, let me just figure this out. Yafin and Zosu Masha Omer David. I see. Tos wants to say the following, that since the get was conditional on the fact that Uriah would not come back at the end from the battle, then at the time that David had the relationship with her, she was a Suffolk Ashesish. So she wasn't a Vada Ashesish, because again, if Uriah in fact does not return at the end of the battle, then Lamafreya the get is Chal Mishas Nesina. But yet, the Gemara in Hazav seems to accuse David of a Suffolk Ashesish. And therefore, those who spoke out against David and they accused him of vile, and they humiliated him, his detractors humiliated him and called him a Boel Ashesish, that's not really correct. It was only a Suffolk, possibly if Uriah would come back before the end of Milchama, then it would have been an Ashesish. Rabbeinu Tam Mefaresh, Kosev get Krisus Legamre below Shum Tanai. Rabbeinu Tam understands that when Uriah and anyone who goes out to battle gave a get, it was an absolute get without any condition whatsoever. And therefore David was certainly mutter with Batsheva. That's the way Rabbeinu Tam learns it. Ulapirusho kasha, amai korele Suffolk Ashesish. Why did the case of David come under Suffolk Ashesish? Havivade Grusha Gemura. Because everybody who went out to battle gave his wife an absolute unconditional get. I don't think that applied to Kohenim, by the way. The Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Korile Suffolk Ashesish, Lefisha Yu Megarshim Bitsina Shaloye Noda. In other words, when they gave this get, they didn't want to publicize it. Why? Because if the word would get out that they gave a get, yikfitsu aleim b'nei adam lekadshon. If it was an absolute unconditional get, then everybody would realize that she could get married, and people would start, trying to make advances in order to achieve a marriage relationship. And that's not something that the husbands were excited about. So Lamaisa, to summarize this Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam comes to the conclusion that the get was unconditional, but it was given Bitsina on the QT. Whereas Rashi learns that it was a conditional get, but you have to add that there was a Lamafreya element in this get, which means either they wrote in the get Mishas Ksiva, or alternatively, Im Ani Lo Achzer Me'a Milchom. Will appear Shakuntris Ksas Koshe Heich Baal Le'a David. How did David have this relationship? Lama Lo Yehe Yare Shema Yachzer. Perhaps Uriah at the end of the day would return from battle. And that's what we discussed before. Okay, Rav, so that's as far as Tosfos is concerned. Now we get back to the Gemara itself. I just want to see how we're doing. Okay, we have a few more minutes. Let's just start the next sugya. Omar Abaye Afana Nami Tnina. We learned on Omid Aleph that Rabbi Elazar says that a person is believed to say Pesach Pasuach. And Abaye now wants to bring a Mishnah to support Rabbi Elazar. The Mishnah says in the beginning of Ksubas Besula, Nisais L'Yom Arvi. If it's the first marriage, you should get married on the fourth day of the week, so that tomorrow when Bezdin convenes, if he has some sort of a claim that he found her to be a Ba'ula, and he found the Pesach Pasuch, he should be able to come right into Bezdin. L'Yom Arvi in L'Yom Chamishi Lo. Why should she be married on the fourth day of the week and not the fifth day of the week? My timer is Dilma Mishum Ekrure Daita. We're afraid that maybe he'll somehow be pacified and, he'll say, all right, so he didn't find Besulin. He'll still, resume his relationship, his marriage relationship. He's not going to come to Bezdin. Lamai, what are we worried about here? Why did we make this takana that a Besula should get married on a Wednesday, and we were afraid that if he got married on a Thursday, since the next yeshiva of Bezdin would be on Monday, in the meantime he's going to cool off. That's called Yiskare Daite. Elam Esiv La Ksuba. If we're worried that he'll pay the Ksuba, when in fact he didn't find it to be a Besula, and she should therefore lose her rights to a Ksuba, Nesiv La. He wants to pay the Ksuba. Let him pay the Ksuba. What do we care? Ella, but rather it must be Li'osra Olav, because if he doesn't come into Bezdin, we won't have his testimony that he found the Pesach Pasuach, and she is in fact Asura Olav. So we're not worried about the Dini Momenis aspect of Ksuba, we're worried about the Isur Veheter aspect of a woman who had this relationship. Udeka Toyin Taina. What was the Taina that we were afraid that he would quelch? Meaning, if he marries on a Wednesday, he'll be in that anger and he'll come forth with that Taina the very next morning. Otherwise, if we wait until Thursday, he might not even come forward with this Taina. My love, the Katoin Tainas Pesach Pasua. Shouldn't we assume that what we're worried about is that we got to get him into Bezdin as soon as possible after he finds her to have a Pesach Pasua, so he'll come into Bezdin and claim Pesach Pasua. And we should therefore, Bezdin should therefore answer her on the husband, terminate this relationship, this marriage. And we can't allow for any leniency over here. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what the Mishnah is worried about at all. The Mishnah is worried about the Kotoyim, Tainas Domim. So also we have two different possible Tainas that the Boel, that the husband could come forward and claim. Until now we've been dealing exclusively with the Tainas Pesach Pasua. And if you recall, we had the whole sugya on Testament Aleph. Does he really have the ability to recognize the Pesach Pasul? No, that's not what the Mishnah. We're talking about a second kind of Taina. That's called a Tainas Domim. A Tainas Domim means that she had no Dam, which means they prove, based on the sheets and so on, that she had no Dam. Now, does the fact that a woman, in the first relationship that she has, does the fact that there was no dam prove positive that she was not a basula, that she had a relationship before? So it really depends. And that's called, in the language of the Shas, mishpachas durkati, that there were women who came from a certain lineage, certain family, and they didn't have dam basula. Correct? And what we're talking about now is a case of a woman who came from a regular family, so to speak, from the large, you know, preponderant majority of the populace. And in that case, we expect and anticipate that she would have Dam. And if they didn't find Dam, that is proof positive that she had already had a previous relationship. However, there's another possibility here. How do we know, how do we determine that these are the sheets that they had relations on? If, let's say, the original sheets were lost, that would be the same equivalent as Mishpachas Durkati, which means that Tainas Domim is not a valid Taina. But again, if we assume A, that she was not from Mishpachas Durkati, and if we anticipate that she should have Dam Basulin, and B, that the original Mapa, the original sheets on which they had the relationship are there, then his Taina is not a Taina of Pesach Pasuach, but a Taina of Domin. Where is the Dam? And for that, he's an absolute Baki. Again, if it was a case of Mishpachas Durkati, or if he doesn't have the proof from the Mapa, then he can only have a Taina of Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, and then we don't know, does he have Bekiyas, does he know or not, should we believe him? And then we don't know whether to accept Rabbi Loza's original principle that Pesach Pasuach Matzasi Nem and Li'osra Lov. But if we're assuming in our Mishnah that we're talking about a Taina's Domim, that's what the Mishnah is worried about, and that's what motivated the Chazal in the Mishnah to make the Takana that she should get married on a Wednesday, then that has no relationship whatsoever to Rabbi Loza, and there's no proof that Pesach Patsuach Masasi is Neman Li'osra Lov, because maybe we're going to assume that instead of Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Di Sura, we should assume that she was a Basula. He claims Pesach Patsuach Masasi. He's not a Baki. He has no idea what he's talking about. He's no experience. And we do not rely on the Taina of Pesach Patsuach Masasi. Now, I'm going to open the door just so that we get ready for Ma'ariv. Oh, there's still a few minutes before Ma'ariv. What I want to do now is, we don't have time to start the next sugya, but I would like to give a little bit of an introduction to the next sugya. I think I mentioned to you weeks ago that Daf Tes and Ksuvos has two parts to it. There's Tes Amud Aleph and Tes Amud Beis. Tes Amud Aleph is learning Iser V'Heter. Under what situations do we have a suffek? That maybe she's Asura love, Shavya Nafshecha Ticha Disura, is he believed, is he not believed? Those all come under Dinei Iser V'Heter. Now we get to Tes Amud Beis. Roman numeral number 2. And that's Dinei Mamonos. What we're going to learn now all belongs to Choshen Mishpat. And the question is that when a person has no witnesses to prove his claim, is he believed to be mafsid ksuba for monetary purposes? Now let's explain. A woman, when she gets married, is given a ksuba. That's a monetary proof and a document that testifies to the fact that he owes her, in event that this marriage terminates, Masayim Zuz, a very hefty, significant sum of money. Now he's claiming Pesa Pasuach Matsasi, which means that she was unfaithful during this 12-month period of Erisin, and therefore she forfeits her ksuba. Is he believed? If it was a Tainus Damim, and we could have Edim that testify that she... That there was no dam, you know, that again we have to arrange how that works. We'll get to that in Mitzvah Shem, but there were witnesses who know and testify that there was no switching of the mapa. Everything was done the way it has to be done, and there's no dam on the map, and she doesn't come from Mishpachas Durkati. Then he can be mafsid haliksuba. But suppose none of those conditions exist. She may be from Mishpachas Durkati. We have no proof that these were the actual sheets. So there's no tainus damim. All he has to claim is Pesach Pasuch Matzasi. So if, as far as Isa V'Heter, Rav Lozzer says he's believed L'Gabi Atzmo, Shavi Anashi Chaticha D'Yisur, that's fine. But now he wants to be Mafsid HaLiksuba and claim that she was unfaithful to him and she forfeits her rights to Masayim Zuz. Why should we believe him? He doesn't have any witnesses to support the fact that he found a Pesach Pasuach. And yet, in the very next line, which Mitzvah will study in our next year, Omer Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, Omer Pesach Patuach Masasi, Neman Lafsida Ksubasa. Rabbi Lozzer didn't go that far. Rabbi Lozzer says he's believed La Osra Al Nafshe Shechaticha Disura. Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Shmuel, went even a step further. That when a man claims he found the Pesach Pasuach, he's believed to be mafsid haliksuba. Again, he has no witnesses. And in Dini Momenos, you can't take money out of one person's possession and give it to another without witnesses. Al pishnayim eidim yakum davar. And lo and behold, for some strange reason, Shmuel tells us that if a person claims Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, she forfeits haliksuba. And that seems to undermine everything that we know about Al Pishnayim Eidim Yakum Davar, the Yesoda Yesodos, and the Shoresh of all of Choshen Mishpat Dini Mamonos is Amotzi Mechavero Olav Haraya. If you want to destroy and undermine someone's possessions, his monetary rights, you have to bring a raya. And what raya do you have to bring? Two witnesses. Eidim. Without two witnesses, forget it. Even though in other areas of the Torah we rely on Nemanus and we rely on Rov and so forth and so on, but in Mammon, Ein Holchem Mammon Achar Rov. So that's the Pella that we have here of Rabbi Yehuda's statement on Daf Tes Amud Beis, that when a man comes into Beis Din, he has no support for his claim, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, and yet he's believed L'Hafsida Ksubasa. That's an amazing Chiddush. Why should he be able to be believed? What evidence does he have to support his claim? Okay, then, Rabosai, we'll stop here. Wish everyone a great evening and a great week. And Belinetta will pick this up next week.